Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord. And as this day is celebrated in our country as Memorial Day, a commemoration of those who have given their lives in service to the country, it's appropriate that we commemorate the shed blood of our Lord and our Savior this day as we celebrate the Lord's Supper after our morning worship. But this day also, a few announcements. First, our condolences to Shirley and the Robbins family for the loss of her brother-in-law, Miles Heisler. And yesterday was Nathaniel's 25th anniversary of coming to us from South Korea. Next Friday is Mark Robbins' birthday. So remember Mark down there in Louisiana. This evening we will be in the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, the dealing of David with Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. He showed him great kindness. But this morning we are in the 5th chapter of 2 Samuel. The Lord God was with him. And this is the hand of blessing upon David as the kingdom of Israel united under his leadership. After 7 years of civil war, they had come together and acknowledged David as the king over all Israel. God's choice for the rule of his people, the man after God's own heart. As we get started this morning, Brother Ken, would you open in prayer, please?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship and praise you. And we just ask your blessing on us and pray and ask you to give the words to Rick to minister to us. And we ask and pray, Lord, that you would watch over those who are not here with us. We thank you for this opportunity to be together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. And as David served as a type of Christ, the forerunner of the one who would be David's son and yet David's Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he is our eternal King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, worship the King. The hymn is number 13.
How tender, how firm to the end.
as David first ruled for a time in Hebron, and then eventually was crowned king over all of Israel. And over the 40 years of his reign, he expanded his territory. He grew in power and in honor and in glory. And the Lord blessed him as he conquered one nation and then another. He acquired the crowns of those nations. And the expansion of the kingdom of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords is a similar fashion, only on a far grander scale, as he calls people from every kindred and every people and every tongue and every tribe into the family of God. Crown him with many crowns. The hymn is 2:16.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. Oh, hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
Amen. And as David is a type of Christ, he is a forerunner, a foreshadowing of that King who is our eternal King, the one who's worthy of all honor and glory and praise. The hymn is 683. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Please stand. We're going to ask Brother Allen to read this passage this morning. It's 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 to 12.
Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto him, and saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in times past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadest us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth out to the gutter, and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind, that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into thy house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Heron, king of Tyre, sent messengers up to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters and masons, and they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people's Israel's sake.
Amen. Please be seated.
The Lord God was with him. As we commemorate the Lord's Supper, we note that the Lord, on that night before his crucifixion, as he anticipated the cross, he was able to give thanks unto his heavenly Father for his disciples and for that bread and the wine which represented the broken body and the shed blood that he would offer as the atonement for our sins. And down through history, God has enabled his people to persevere through our trials and our tribulations, all the storms of life, oftentimes with joy and with great thanksgiving. Such was the case with a servant of the Lord by the name of Martin Rinkert. He was born in 1586 in Eilenburg, Germany, the son of a poor coppersmith. And through hard work and his musical talents, he worked his way through the University of Leipzig. He had studied theology and desired to be a preacher after he had come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he applied for the position of a deacon that was open in his church, he was denied. And though greatly disappointed, he moved on to become a music teacher at a church school for a number of years. But eventually, on May the 28th, 1611, he became a deacon. And by 1617, just before the outbreak of the Thirty Years' War, he became a pastor of his home church. He served the Lord faithfully, but Eilenburg was a walled city, and it quickly became a haven for thousands of refugees as they flooded into the city. Starvation followed. Many died. Rinkert and the three other pastors averaged 10 funerals each per day. Finally, one of the pastors fled the city, and two of the others died, leaving Rinkert as the sole remaining one to bury all the dead. He conducted up to 50 funerals per day, including that of his own wife. But he labored on. And after 30 years of suffering and hardship, the city of Eilenburg finally fell. They were forced to surrender, and the Swedish general demanded a very high cost of payment to end the battle. Rinkert pleaded for mercy, saying that the cost of the demand was far too high. But the victors refused to relent. And Rinkert fell to his knees and prayed with such anguish and such earnestness that the Swedish general was moved to reduce the payment to an affordable amount. And thus the city was spared further destruction. In the midst of all that suffering, to celebrate God's mercy and the end of the war, Rinkert wrote a hymn that his children sang at the dinner table. It was later translated into that hymn of ours, "Now Thank We All Our God." And it was also adapted into the Cantata 192 by Johann Sebastian Bach by the same name. This hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," was born out of great suffering. And many of our hymns, as we look to the history of our hymns, they were the personal experiences and the sufferings of the authors, those who were moved by the Spirit of God to adapt the truth of the verses of Scripture into memorable lines that we can use not only as devotion, but also to celebrate and to worship our Savior. So thus we remember Martin Rinkert. This morning we are looking at the crowning of King David as we look towards the celebration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and his great sacrifice to accomplish our redemption and our salvation. The year was 1003 B.C., David had ruled in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. He was now 30 years of age. But the 12 tribes of Israel now come to David at Hebron, and they appeal to him to be their king. After 7 years of civil war, in which the 10 tribes had followed Ishbosheth, the last remaining son of Saul, in an attempt to perpetuate the dynasty of King Saul. They had resisted the reign of David, the one whom God had chosen to be the king, the man after his own heart. But now they've come to their senses. And they appeal to David. They remind him that he is bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. He's one of them. And they also remind him of the great service that he had done to the kingdom of Saul. That though Saul was king, it was David who was their protector and their defender. The one who through his great exploits and his courage had delivered the nation time and time again, prompting the people of Israel to celebrate him, to praise him, to be thankful for him as the one who, though Saul killed thousands, David killed his 10,000s. They also reminded David that he had been anointed by the Lord, that he had been called to his position of leadership, that he was to be the shepherd, the feeder of his sheep, and the ruler over Israel. And those acknowledgments of David and his character and his faith are character traits and attributes that the leadership of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to consider. David was a man who was bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh. Unlike the self-serving King Saul, David was truly concerned for the well-being of his people. And he had demonstrated his faithfulness. Even to King Saul, who was trying to kill him, David remained loyal. He would not take the head of the Lord's anointed, but instead waited patiently until God's timing for that moment when, according to the prophecy of Samuel the prophet, he would be king of Israel. But David also was a man of great faith. Where others saw the natural obstacles, David saw the power of God. Like he had achieved the victory over Goliath, David entrusted that the Lord would protect him and deliver him from all obstacles. Though 1,000 would fall at his left hand and 10,000 at his right, he believed that God would preserve him and protect him and deliver him. And we need, as Christians, to realize that, as it is often said, that we are invincible until the point where God determines otherwise. He will finish the work that he has begun in us, and he will do that which he has purposed to do. David ruled in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. He was 30 years of age when he came to the throne. And he ruled there and then for another 33 years at Jerusalem, completing 40 years of service and leadership of the nation of Israel. And though he was a man, he had his flaws. But he was always quick to repent. When confronted with the realization that he had fallen short of God's holy standard, he was quick to turn back and to appeal to the Lord for mercy and for forgiveness, and to realize the sustaining grace. For David, like we, was but a sinner saved by grace. David came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that city in the mountains of Zion. Seemingly an impregnable city, it was a territory that had remained in the hands of the Jebusites. Now, 400 years or more after the occupation of the land of Canaan, though the rest of the territories had been parceled out among the 12 tribes, Jerusalem had remained in the hands of the native Jebusites. And they believed that their city was impregnable. They thought it could not be attacked successfully. And they taunted the Israelites for their desire to take the city. They mocked even King David, who had expressed his faith in the true God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and likened all other gods to those that could not see and could not talk and could not walk. So the Jebusites mocked and ridiculed David and his faith by saying that unless he removes the blind and the lame, he cannot come hither, thinking that he could not come there. They thought that their walls and their mountains would protect them against all enemies. But God had shown his favor upon David. Time and time again, he had allowed David to overcome impossible odds and to win great victories despite the apparent opposition. David had challenged his men that the one who successfully captured the city would be made the chief and the captain of the host of the armies of Israel. David's nephew, Joab, accepted that challenge and accomplished the task. This passage makes reference to David saying that whoever should go up onto the gutters of the city. It's believed that the successful attack of Jerusalem was accomplished through entering into the water ducts of the city. And thus, it was a surprise attack. David thus took control of the city of the Jebusites, Jerusalem. And it became the city of David. All of this is a type and a shadow of the process in which our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the Savior, has also undertaken for himself as he has gone to prepare a place for us, that new Jerusalem, that heavenly Zion that he is making ready for us on that great day when he returns in glory and in judgment. So thus the capture of Jerusalem was completed. David expanded his territory and conquered many of the peoples that had been left unconquered. Jerusalem became the widely acknowledged capital of the new United Nation of Israel because it had been in a region that was previously unallocated to the other 12 tribes. It was within the territory of Benjamin, but very near unto Judah, which was David's home territory and the base of his reign for the first 7.5 years. But being that it was not previously assigned to any of the tribes, it thus became a widely accepted capital city for the United Nation of Israel. David grew in favor. He grew in power and in wealth and in honor because the Lord God was with him. He forged alliances with Hiram, the king of Tyre, and Tyre sent lumber from the mighty trees of Lebanon. He sent messengers to encourage David. He sent skilled craftsmen to help him build his house, to build a palace fit for the king of Israel. And it was that alliance and that friendship which David had forged with Hiram that laid the foundation for the eventual construction of the temple that his son Solomon would build. Solomon had completed that desire of David's heart to build a house of worship unto the Lord God. And God had said that since David was such a bloody man, a man of war, that he would not be permitted to build that temple. But the Lord commended David for having that in his heart. His desire to do so was acknowledged and approved of God. And he assembled all of the materials, all of the instructions for that day when his son Solomon would complete the great temple unto the Lord. And for more than 400 years, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, manifested itself in that temple, showing God's presence and God's power among his people, and ensuring his blessing for as long as they would obey his word. Thus David ruled Israel. He governed not without his difficulties, but he ruled Israel as a man after God's own heart. This evidence of the Lord's blessing upon his life is that which you and I, as Christians, ought to desire for our own lives. David was ensured, as the rest of the people of Israel were, that they would experience the blessing and the presence of God for as long as they obeyed his word. And yet at the same time, realizing that we are but mortal, flawed human beings, we also understand that God is a merciful God, and he will restore us. He will reconcile us into his favor and into his grace because of his great mercy, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished at the cross of Calvary. David was exalted, but he, though he experienced much worldly power, his focus was upon serving his God. And our approach, though we live in this world, we are not to be of this world. We are challenged to provide for our families. For the scripture reminds us that those who fail to do so are worse than infidels. But at the same time, we also acknowledge and understand that the things of this world are not the end all. That the ends do not justify the means, as the common philosophy of man has largely been down through history. But that the Lord will provide for our every need. He knows what we need before we ask. And yet he is pleased that we approach him in humility and in prayer, desiring his presence, desiring his power, and understanding that he is the giver of all good things. He will sustain us. He will meet our daily needs. But he has also promised to provide that heavenly city, that New Jerusalem, that David and his reign in the city in Palestine are but a type and a shadow. The Lord has gone to prepare us for that great city and that heavenly home of eternal peace and eternal joy. David thus serves as a type of Christ. He was promised a dynasty, a reign which would never end. And though his earthly descendants fell into squalor and seeming failure, more than 900 years later, by the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, those descendants of David were no longer earthly kings. But the Lord had kept his promise. He remained faithful to his word. And he provided the one who Isaiah would predict more than 300 years after David, that God would provide a son, that he would be born of a virgin, and that he would govern his people. He would reign with a kingdom that should never end. And thus, the promise to David that there would be one on the throne of Israel forever, though it seemingly was not maintained in the natural, the scriptural truth is that first the natural and then the spiritual, as Paul reminded the Corinthians. And David's son was indeed David's Lord, Christ the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Upon his ascension to the right hand of God, he sits on that heavenly throne of David, that heavenly throne of God, the right hand of power. And he ever lives to make intercession for his saints. He rules and reigns, the sovereign Lord of the visible and the invisible, the ruler of all nature, the one who is worthy of our praise, the one who desires and demands to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ as we recognize his faithfulness in the life of David, as we recognize the spiritual application of what came to be in the fulfillment of the prophecies of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing hymn number 129, Fairest Lord Jesus, Ruler of All Nature.
Fairest Lord Jesus, Ruler of all nature, Son of God and Son of man, Thee will I cherish, Thee will I honor, Thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fair are the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is
David recognized that the Lord was with him, that it was God who had given him that throne of Israel. And we must acknowledge and recognize and praise the Lord, for he is the one who has given us life and hope and joy and all of the fruits of the Spirit that he has indicated that we as Christians have to one degree or another. We need to acknowledge his blessing. We need to praise him for who he is and what he has done. So, Brother Tom, would you, as the Lord found time to be thankful in that dark moment before his own crucifixion, we now look back upon that triumphant work at the cross of Calvary. And the Lord gave thanks. So, would you give thanks for that which we are about to partake?
Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We do, Lord, thank you for your work that's done at Calvary. We just are amazed at how wonderful and awesome you are. We're very thankful, Lord, you took us, poor sinners, unworthy, unthankful, just plain obnoxious people, and made us into your goals. And we just praise you for that. And we know we're not the same people we were, and we look forward to praising you and being with you throughout eternity. And now we just pray these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And would you come forward, please? And the Lord, after he had given thanks, he reminded his disciples that this was that which he had received directly from the Lord Jesus, that he was instructing them, as we are instructed, to commemorate his sacrifice for us. And he prayed, he thanked the Lord, and then he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is done, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So, Brother Tom, would you distribute it, please?
Okay.
He said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after they had eaten in like manner as they had eaten the bread, he took the cup. And he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you do it, this do in remembrance of me." And he said, "As often as you do it, this do in remembrance of me." And so as they ate and drank, he reminded them again that this is a solemn and yet a joyful occasion, a commemoration that we are to do until he comes again. And after they had eaten and drank, the disciples sang a hymn. So let us sing hymn number 188. "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins."
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel. Lose all their guilty stains.
David recognized that the Lord was with him. He acknowledged that God had been the one who had given him his throne, his power, his glory. And we must recognize that our salvation is not by our own works, not by anything that we are or ever could be, but it's by his grace, through faith alone. The one who has made us, called us, to be kings and priests in that heavenly city, that New Jerusalem, to him be dominion and power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do we have any thoughts this morning regarding the Lord God was with him?